From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of August 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor will be here, too. He'll guide us through the farm and how basis has been holding up in the cash grain market. And at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, we'll hear our bi-weekly In My Backyard piece from Lisa Braltz. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished lower. September wheat at $6.81¾ from the soft red pit, down 28¾ cents. December at $7.25¼ lower. Next year's July at $7.82¾ from the wheat, 24½ cents lower. July hard red in Kansas City down 24¾ cents at $8.13½ from the corn pit back in Chicago. Nearby contract a $6.93¾ settlement price for the September. Down 12¼ cents. December corn at 701½. The harvest month 11½ cents lower. March at 714¼, down 11¼. The May at 718¾, down 11¼. And July corn at $7.22¼, 11½ cents lower. Next year's December down a dime for 2012 at $6.40½. August soybeans $13.39¼, down 24¾. September at $13.36¼, 27½ lower. And November at $13.45¼, down 27¾. November of next year at $13.24, down 21 cents. Bean meal down $5.40. Bean oil down $1.10 on the afternoon. Live cattle finished the August at $112.65, 47½ cents lower. August feeders at $133.15 were down $1.20, and the lean hogs at $105.55 finished 90 cents higher on the day. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil at $86.80 a barrel, down $5.12. Ethanol at $2.64¾, 8 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.94¼, down 14¼. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 11¼ cents lower at $2.90¼. Gold futures finished the August contract at $1,656.20 an ounce, $7.20 lower for the day. The Dow now just about 335 points lower at 11,561, and the dollar a gain of 1.06 at 75.12 on the afternoon. The CRB index at 327.97, down 9.35 for the day. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says this afternoon we'll see partly sunny skies, a high of 87 degrees, tonight a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. That after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of around 69 degrees, and then Friday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy tomorrow, a high near 83. Friday night, cloudy, a low of 70. Saturday, partly sunny, a high near 87. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 72. And on Sunday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 86 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low of 66. Monday for the start of the work week, mostly sunny skies, the high near 83 in Urbana-Champaign area. Monday night, cloudy and a low of 65. And on Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny then, a high near 84. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms continues, partly cloudy, a low of 65. And by the time we get to Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 82 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker from ADM Grain Group is on the phone line with us to take up the agricultural commodity markets. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Doing fine, Todd.
Was it all about the outside markets, or did the Informa numbers have a pitch in today's downward movement?
Well, the outside markets had corn and ag commodities, actually all commodities, on the defensive right away because of the dollar was sharply higher due to actions that the European Central Bank did and overnight, as well as the Central Bank of Japan. So you had the dollar sharply higher here in overnight trade, and that had already put commodities on the defensive. And then when the Informa numbers came out there at 10:30, then you had the final push to the downside, kind of throw in the towel type thing, and then basically then the market slowly started to recover off their lows at that point in time.
Okay, so the USDA yields currently, and we'll get a new set of yields when the crop production report comes out next week, are 158.7 for corn and 43.4. Informa's numbers today say the soybean yield will be 42.5 bushels to the acre nationally, and that the corn yield will be 158. That's far different than what we heard from F.C. Stone earlier in the week, which was down there that 153 bushel to the acres national yield. Who's right?
Well, my guess is maybe Informa might be closer to right for USDA's report. I mean, they try to duplicate USDA's methodology, or they used to. And we got to keep in mind that USDA's August numbers are stock counts, population counts, and then it's multiplied by average pods per stock and average year weight, average year length, whatever. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't vary from that and, you know, go low, go high, go what, whatever the case may be. But I think if USDA would come in as low as Informa did, F.C. Stone, it would be quite surprising. I think the Informa numbers are more kind of what I think underneath the table, what everybody kind of thinks USDA is going to come up with. And I think they kind of think that whatever USDA comes up with will probably be the highest of the year, and we'll maybe get those behind us then. But now Informa here kind of did us, you know, they kind of came out with those big numbers, and so maybe the market already feels that the highest numbers are behind us, and they'll start looking at lower numbers as we go forward.
Will the market recover overnight and into tomorrow, or is the outside market influence bigger than the 12-cent move we had in corn today and the 24-cent move in soybeans?
Well, anytime you have big volatile moves like this, you know, the guy that's on the losing side of the trade is scrambling for money, margin calls and that kind of stuff, and he has to make a decision whether or not he wants to send margin calls in or if he wants to, you know, just bail. So usually you have a big move like this. It takes another day or two for the market to kind of calm down or sort itself out. You know, my guess is with the big decline that we've seen in the stock market here over the past couple weeks or so, Bernanke's probably printing a couple more $1 trillion to give some liquidity to the New York institutions. And I think that's what the market is basically going to anticipate, is that the economy is in such a mess. I think we get a jobs report, I think, tomorrow, some kind. And I think, you know, the economy is slowing down. And I think basically what the market is trying to tell central bankers is that I guess we need to devalue the currency more, because it seems like that's what we're having, a race to the bottom worldwide, is who can devalue their currency the most. And with Japan and Europeans' moves last night, the dollar is strong. So now it'll be the U.S.'s turn to figure out a way to devalue our currency, probably.
Have you changed your thought pattern on corn and soybeans, where I think you were friendly to possibly bullish on both? in the last few weeks to the idea that maybe the double dip has reared its head again here and that that might create a problem?
I'm concerned a little bit. Well, you know, number one, statistically, to make yearly highs once you get past the end of July, you're getting into pretty thin ice. You only got 1 in 4 chances that you'll make a yearly high once you get past the end of July. Now, I kind of been kind of looking at this market pattern somewhat similar to maybe 1983. In 1983, corn went up and made an August high. Beans had an August high. Then they had a setback into Labor Day, and then they both came back for a last finishing rally there in September. Corn failed to make a higher high, but beans did make a higher high, and then the market went south. I'm still kind of in that camp. I think the way corn came back off of its lows today, managed to close $7 on December corn, is very constructive. You take a look at corn, December 11 corn futures has had only a few closes above $7. We had 3 closes above $7 back in the first week or so of June. We've got 3 closes this week above $7. So this is could be kind of some technicians look at this could be maybe a double top formation. What I like about it is we had a descending triangle in the making. Or we had it made. I thought it was more of a pennant last Thursday, probably when I talked to you, but after Friday it turned into a descending triangle. Then we broke out of that there on Tuesday with a big push up, and now today we came back to the point of breakout, which normally what the market does is anytime it breaks out of a pattern, and the breakout point is kind of like 89, 90. I think our low today was maybe 88, and now we bounced off of that. Now, if corn would move on higher tomorrow and finish out the week higher, I think then that would signal that the breakout is validated and we are going to resume in the trend of the breakout. So it still looks like corn has shot at higher contract highs as we go down the road. Soybeans, I don't personally, I suppose, from a bull argument, probably a little worried about this close below 1350. We're at 45 here tonight. But I think that the pattern in beans still looks like a flag-type formation. If the market can kind of come back and close back above 1350 for the week, or let's say get above 1360, I think then the beans are still in good shape yet to go on up through the top. I just got a deal from my weather guy here a few minutes ago, and I guess, you know, the noon models are wanting to move high-pressure system back into the plains in the Midwest here, middle part of August. So it's real important if the crop doesn't get some of these rains that's kind of on the books for the next 24 to 48 hours, and then we go back to a hot and dry pattern in mid-August, then, the market will then go on up through the tops, I think, Todd.
Well, the good news is we get to talk to you again during Commodity Week this week, and we'll check and see how all those patterns played out for the week.
Okay, good.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Bye.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from willag.org. That's willag.org, public radio for the farming world. There you'll be able to find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report.
everything in between, and Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's happened in the world of agricultural markets. This week, our guest, Murray Weiss of Murray Weiss Associates, to talk about land values. Our panelists in studio will include Dan Zwicker from ADM Grain Group, along with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, and Dwayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Should be a great program. Commodity Week posted to the website at willag.org by about 6 p.m. Central Time Friday afternoon. Hey, have you put this one on your list of things to do in the month of August? Agronomy Day here on the Urbana-Champaign campus is the third Thursday. That's the 18th day of August. We'll kick off at 7 a.m. Central, and you're invited to come and visit the South Farms, not too far to the east of the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road. You're looking for the Extension Research and Outreach Centers there. On those South Farms plots, we'll be sending rack wagons into the field where you'll be able to talk to the researchers, scientists, and faculty members that have been working on all kinds of agricultural studies throughout the year. Not only that, but you'll be able to ask them questions about their research and, more importantly, give them ideas about what you'd like to see in the future. It's Agronomy Day, the 18th day of August, starts at 7 a.m. in the morning. Please do come and visit us. There is a nominal charge for the lunch at the noon hour. And this year, brand new, you'll be able to take a tour of the Arboretum. It is a beautiful place to see. If you'd like to do that, that's at 10 o'clock. And this year, we'll also, in the field, talk a whole lot about biofuels and miscanthus and all the kinds of grasses that might be used sometime in the future to fuel the nation. It all happens right here on this campus, the 18th day of August, Agronomy Day in Urbana-Champaign. You're invited. Please do come and see us.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community-owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. More information is on their website at www.commonground.coop.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next on In My Backyard, Lisa Brotz visits with one woman whose dream come true includes small-scale farming, proof positive that one does not have to give up their day job to enjoy a rural lifestyle.
Every time I've driven out to Kathy Capel's farm in rural Sydney, Illinois, which so far has been three or four times, I pull into the driveway, take a look at the house and the kitchen garden and the barn and the guinea fowl and the chickens and the sheep, and I think, I wish I was doing this. Of course, my maximum number of chickens is about four, and I know nothing about sheep, but a girl can dream. That's what Kathy did. She dreamed, and then she did it. She's a Champaign, Illinois native who spent time in Wyoming as a young woman, learning about organic farming from her mother-in-law in the mid-70s. She eventually packed up her kids and headed back to central Illinois and thought about law school, but ended up opening a horse boarding and breeding business instead so that she had more time with her kids. After the kids left home, she gave up the stable, lived in town, and got a so-called real job in publishing. But the dream kept at her, and then she saw the place in Sydney.
I saw this farm for sale, this pretty little farm over near Sydney, right by the Salt Fork, and I looked at the house, and I mean, I made up my mind to make an offer as soon as we walked in the door of the house. It just felt like home, and I really missed being in the country.
It's easy to see what she saw in it that first time. It's in a beautiful spot on the Salt Fork River, about 20 acres of timber and pasture and crops and a gorgeous old house. I wondered who'd sat there before us, shucking corn for dinner and chatting. She's surrounded by much larger farms. You can see the Frito-Lay grain elevator about a mile to the south, and half of her acreage is still in either corn or beans until next year, when it transitions to full pasture for her animals. Kathy calls her farm a subsistence farm, or a hobby farm. She makes some money from her farming enterprises, but what she makes doesn't cover expenses. She and her husband both continue to work day jobs. She doesn't sell at farmers' markets or into stores and restaurants, but to individuals and families. Right now, most of her work on the farm is basic stewardship.
I mean, at this point, we're still building to where we've got all of the land in pasture that we want. We're improving the woods so that we can have some pasture in the woods and have some enterprises in the woods. I have sheep, so I have wool. I do hand-spun yarn, which in the wintertime is when I do most of my spinning, but I do manage the sheep in the summertime. And we also sell lamb. I have hens for eggs. I have turkeys that I'm planning to process and sell for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And then I also have some broilers that I'll be processing. But in a lot of ways, we're just in the beginning of getting everything set up in a way that minimizes labor.
Fortunately, Kathy's day job has everything to do with what she's doing on the farm. Right now, she manages operations at the Land Connection, an organization dedicated to connecting people who want to farm with the land to do it. She first got involved with the organization as a student in its Farm Beginnings program. One thing led to another after she graduated in 2008 when she became a program facilitator for Farm Beginnings. And as the organization changed, she found herself taking over more of its day-to-day management. She sees change on the horizon for the Land Connection, mainly because the role of local food in communities everywhere, including Illinois, is looming large. Demand is outstripping supply. We talked about the Edible Economy Project in Bloomington Normal, where the development of a central processing and distribution facility will help smaller produce farmers deal with their surplus and possibly introduce local food to a hungry but more mainstream food system. Big stores want local food.
I think County Market carries local. There are several restaurants that are working with local farmers. Walmart has a local section, although, you know, again, everything's local somewhere. But, you know, at least it's something that retailers have had to notice and incorporate into their marketing.
I ask her, as we sit in our chairs in the shade and listen to the cicadas trill louder, if she thinks women are becoming real agents of change through various agricultural enterprises, even if they're not living in the country.
They're taking their sphere, if you can call it that, of the farmyard, being responsible for the well-being of the family, into the city and raising small livestock, doing pigs, doing chickens, you know, eggs, gardening, and fresh local foods. And I just think it's an expansion of historically what our sphere is, and it's what we're good at, is taking care of people.
This is Lisa Braltz for In My Backyard.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. On the phone line with us, Matt Bennett. He's with Windsor and Grain Elevator and TGM there. Thanks, Matt, for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. It's okay. Good to talk to you.
Well, first, how are your fields holding up in the dry weather conditions?
Well, it just kind of depends on where you're at. Of course, there's been some awfully spotty rains these last couple weeks. We were able to receive a really good soaking rain just right around our house, to be honest with you, on Saturday. We missed everything on Friday that a lot of guys to the south of us got, but got one on Saturday, and it ended up doing quite a bit of good for us. Green things back up a little bit, and I think it took a little stress off.
Have you been out to do some counts and see what you think is in your cornfield?
Yeah, we've went out and looked, and there's certainly areas that are going to be much better than others. Of course, anywhere there was stress early this spring have really been magnified with all this heat. And, you know, I think that a pretty common yield this year in a lot of places will be in the 150 to 180 range, and it's going to be a lot worse than that where we had stress.
So it'll be, what, 40 to 60 bushels off?
Oh, anyway. You know, there's areas that'll be at least that much off of what they could have been.
And what are your bids for the day?
Our cash corn bid would be 724, fall is 680, and then cash beans 1346, and fall is 1310.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. We'll say so long to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, I'll return in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with Pete Levitt about the ag weather.
It's National Watermelon Day. It's also St. Lydia's Day, patron of clothes dryers. On this day in agricultural history in 1492, Christopher Columbus sailed from Spain on his first voyage to what he thought were the Indies. In 1801, Sir Joseph Paxton was born. Paxton was an English landscape gardener and a hothouse designer. He was the architect of the Crystal Palace at the Great Exhibition of 1851 in London. In 1806, Michael Addison was born. Addison was a French botanist who developed a system of plant classification based on physical characteristics. In 1811, Elisha Graves Otis was born. He invented the first safe elevator and opened the door to rooftop restaurants. His elevator featured an automatic safety brake, a spring-loaded bar that caught on the rails if the elevator cable broke. In 1914, the first ships passed through the Panama Canal. And in 1921, John McCready became the first person to crop dust from an airplane. He did it over a farm near Troy, Ohio, to kill an infestation of caterpillars. By the way, he also was a co-pilot on the first nonstop U.S. transcontinental flight in May of 1923. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist on the phone line to take up the weather forecast. Thanks, Pete, for being with us. Why don't you check back on the month of July? Tell me about that, and then what you see in the month of August that might be different, please.
Okay. The main features of July had the seasonal expansion of heat northward through the central states up into the middle and even occasionally in the northern portions of the Corn Belt states, and the persistence of that heat in there for a few weeks in July. And then we had the searing drought, of course, in the southern plains. August is going to be a little bit different because I don't think the heat is really going to come back, at least not more than for a day or two at a time in the Midwest. I think we're going to see a much more seasonal pattern in the Midwest, maybe even a little cooler than normal. What we are not going to get a change in the Midwest is that this precipitation is going to be generally abundant across most of the Midwest. There have been a few dry sections here and there, but not covering a very large area. The main drought, of course, was in southern Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, and the area of extreme drought in those regions covered almost all of the drought area, whereas most of the rest of the United States had more or less seasonal soil conditions after we got through July, a few dry spots in the southeast and dotted across the Midwest. So, in effect, it was not that large an area. It was just how intense that area would be. And to give you an example, what the likely impact of that was is that the Texas and Oklahoma corn crops, for example, are going to be sharply reduced with only some of the irrigated acreage surviving in those areas. Even southern Kansas has been affected in spots. And I usually don't talk about production, but that's important. And I get the feeling that we're going to lose over 300 million bushels of production in those three states or two and a half states alone. One thing to keep in mind is that you hear yield forecasts constantly at this time of year. You've got to remember that yields are often yield for harvested acreage. When we do weather relationships with yield, we have to do yield per seeded acreage because meteorology affects what you planted, not what you harvested at the end, because the fields that don't make it never get harvested, and so the net yield per harvested is always a little higher than the yield per planted, depending on what kind of abandonment you're allowed to do or whether you have to harvest for programs or otherwise.
And what do you see for the weather forecast for the next week right here in our part of the world?
Oh, right in your part of the world, you've got actually a wet week coming up with temperatures averaging a little above normal just early on. And then from Monday through Friday, below normal temperatures, near to below normal temperatures. Not wild swings in either ways, but plenty of precipitation. We've got precipitation for Friday, for Sunday, for Tuesday, for maybe Wednesday in northern areas of the belt. And then we're going to get wet again as we get into the weekend. So lots of opportunities for showers. Nothing overwhelming in any one place, I don't believe, but mild temperatures.
Thanks so much, Pete.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids.